On this first Saturday of June, we are given two readings in the liturgy, which give us two examples of wholehearted, selfless gift to the Lord. In the first reading, St. Paul is the example. In the Gospel, the poor widow is the example. Well, since it's First Saturday and we're honoring Our Lady, we can say we have a third example, better than either of those two, Mary herself, who was also a poor widow. But let's start with St. Paul. This is the conclusion, or near the conclusion, of his letter, second letter to Timothy. He's spoken a lot to Timothy about different aspects of being a disciple, being a servant, being a missionary. He gives some more advice in today's reading about persisting in the hardships, relying on the strength that comes from God. But then at the end, he stops speaking to Timothy about what Timothy should do, and he says a little bit about what he himself has done. And he puts it this way: I am already being poured out like a libation, and the time of my departure is at hand. A libation is a liquid offering. We don't use libations nowadays, but that was, in the ancient world, a way of showing that you're dedicating the whole gift to God. So you have some precious wine or oil. To pour it out meant to, I'm not going to gain the benefit of it, I'm giving it all, wasting it for the Lord. That's what he says about himself. He's poured out, emptied. I have competed well, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. So he's speaking as if he's near the end of his apostolic mission. He's an older man, he's spent years of service and of suffering, and he knows that his end is near. Now, when we hear about someone who's poured out and someone who's at the end of the line, it might sound to us like depletion, emptiness, nothing left, might as well lie down and die. That's the way the world would look at it. You live and then you die. But that's not what Paul is saying. He's not saying, now I'm burned up, I'm burned out, I'm used up, I've wasted all my energy and now I've got nothing left. He's not saying that. Listen to what he says next. From now on, not looking to the future, looking back, I've been making a gift of myself. I've been pouring myself out, as I've been called to do. But now looking forward, he says, from now on, a crown of righteousness awaits me. He's looking forward to a heavenly reward, an eternal reward, a crown, now not a physical crown, but a spiritual crown, which the Lord, the just judge, will award to me on that day. Okay, see how positive is his outlook all the way to the end. He's confident in God. He's not confident that he has any more to give, but he's confident that if he gives his whole self, the Lord will give him an even greater reward. He will award that to me on this day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearance. That's us. So the confidence of St. Paul, the hope that stirs in him as he pours himself out, should be ours too. Otherwise, we'll take a worldly view of this and say, well, once I've served, then I'm burned out. Or once I've given, I have nothing left. I'm an empty vessel. That's the human experience. That's the human perspective. But that's not how God sees it. Let's take a look at the gospel. I said the example set before us, actually the example Jesus himself sets before us, is the poor widow who puts in a very small contribution in the treasury. It's only a few cents, 25 centavos, I don't know how much. Not worth very much. But he says she put in more than everybody else. At the beginning of this gospel passage, though, he gives a warning about the style of the scribes, who are not, who look like they're holy because they're walking around with holy vestments and sitting in seats of honor and doing all the things holy people do, especially the clergy. He says, beware of them, because they're actually taking, they're not pouring themselves out, they're filling themselves. They're devouring the houses of the widows and being hypocrites, looking like they're praying when in fact they're just making a show of themselves. So that's the warning. And that's what the world tells us to do, not to make a hypocrite of ourselves, but to fill ourselves. No one likes a hypocrite. The world doesn't like hypocrites, and the believers don't like hypocrites. It's still common. But the world tells us, no, if you want to be full, fill yourself. If you want to have a satisfying life, well, take what you want. Make sure that you take care of yourself. Make sure that you don't get depleted. Make sure that you don't empty yourself. Put yourself first. That's the world's response. That's exactly what this poor widow doesn't do. Now, this is why she stands out in this reading. She's exactly the opposite of the scribes and of the world. She puts in her little contribution, but it turns out, and we wouldn't know this except Jesus said it, she didn't simply make a little contribution. She gave everything she had. Her whole livelihood. Everyone else, all the richer people, they put in what was extra, surplus wealth. Money they didn't really need anyway. But she put in what she really needed. She put in her everything she had. This is a very challenging example. What is that a good thing? We look at it, again, because we have natural and worldly blinders, and we say, well, that's not a very good thing to do, because now what does she have? She didn't have very much, now she has nothing. She's worse off now than she was before. She shouldn't have done that. In fact, she would be justified in taking some of the money out because she needs it to live. But that's not what Jesus says about her. He doesn't say, oh, she should take more. She should be more like the scribes. He says, she gave more. Now, this is disturbing to us because we can't figure out how we could benefit from giving everything that we have. It just seems like a bad thing. So in order to understand it properly, we have to place ourselves in the presence of the Lord, which is exactly what this woman does. She's not just throwing her money away. She's not gambling it away. She's not being reckless with it. She's dedicating it to God. You see what she's doing? She's putting herself in the presence of God, in the hands of God. God, who is far more generous than even the most, the holiest giver on earth. God, who is the generous one. And the perspective of the poor widow and the perspective of St. Paul, and should be our perspective as well, is God provides for us more than we need. Therefore, we don't have to be preoccupied with taking care of ourselves. That's what this widow is saying. I don't have to worry about that. God takes care of me. Now, it doesn't mean we're supposed to be imprudent or reckless or foolish with our money. And it doesn't mean we should abandon our responsibilities, because most of the time, what we have is not just for ourselves anyway, it's for our families or those who depend on us. So that's what God wants us to do, is take care of our own and also take care of the poor. So that's implied. But in this poor widow, we don't know if she has any family, we don't know how old she is, we don't know anything else about her, we don't even know her name. But we do know she trusts in God. She makes a complete gift of herself to God. And why is that a good thing? Because of the goodness of God, not because of the goodness of the woman. There's nothing great about having nothing. But there is something great about having God, because when we have God, we have everything. This is the attitude of faith. It's completely opposite from the attitude of the world. You know what happens in the world? I mean, the attitude of materialism and self-satisfaction. What happens is people who make the decision to try to fill themselves find themselves feeling more and more empty. This is the classic pattern of addiction, right? The drug addict says, I want to feel better, I'll take drugs. Feels good while he's high on drugs, then when it runs out or wears off, he feels worse than he did before. So then, now what? Now I feel worse, I need more drugs. And the more he uses that means, or the more, actually, I use drugs because it's an obvious example, but any worldly means to fill ourselves could be shopping, it could be social media, could be whatever, gossip, or could be anything that we fill ourselves with, material goods, could be fame. No matter what it is, the more we fill ourselves with something worldly, the emptier we feel. And that's why it becomes a self-perpetuating problem. How can we break that? Well, by putting our trust in God and saying, I don't need to fill myself. God takes care of me. I'm in the care of a very loving and generous Father. So I don't have to worry about filling myself. What I need is God. Now, this is connected to tomorrow's feast day, which is Feast of Corpus Christi. It's a feast of heavenly food. It's a sign that God provides for us for our deepest hunger. That's why we don't have to fill ourselves, because God has something that satisfies this inner hunger. Now this woman, she doesn't know about the Eucharist. I don't even know if she knows Jesus. She probably does, because everybody heard about him. She might even be making this gift of herself because she has confidence that the kingdom of God is at hand, which is what has been proclaimed. But in any case, she's not concerned about filling herself, and so she's free. She's not focused on herself, and so she's not empty. She has an inner fullness. That's the lesson of both St. Paul and the widow. As I said, we have a third example better than either of these two, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mary was entirely poured out in service of the Lord. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your will. Let your richness fill me. I'm not going to be filling myself. I'm going to make a gift of myself. That's the spiritual life. That's the life of faith. That's the life of Mary and all the saints. So that's the secret to our life as well. To trust in God. To trust, even though we're weak, even though we have a worldly mindset, even though we're sinners. That's not an obstacle to God. As long as we're willing to trust Him, He can provide for us, fill us with more than we need. Enough so that we can be generous with others. That's the beauty and the challenge of the liturgy today.